brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's another question of the month episode. The question was, which miniature would you love to own, but so far it's eluded you, be that through availability or price or other such reasons. So let's get straight into it then.
Hello, Matthew. Hello, everyone. This is John, JCB on the Discord, calling in from St. Vincent and the Grenadines to answer the question of the month. Which miniature would I like above all others? That has to be the Nick Bibby Toad Dragon from the mid-80s, I think it was. I first came across that miniature probably in the early 90s in Encounter Games in Cardiff when I was looking through different models with my friend. Never seen it before, didn't know anything about it, but the name Toad Dragon just conjured up lots of imagery for us, especially around the Dead Marshes in Lord of the Rings, which was a book that we both loved, me and my friend, and we used to use that for a lot of the imagery in our early Warhammer games. Now, if you've never seen the model, it's very dynamic for the time. It's got a wide gaping maw and a chameleonic tongue shooting out at its next unwary victim. But it's always struck me as being quite lugubrious as well, quite a lazy looking character. It's got these little stubby wings and a big paunch, and as dynamic and wide and gaping as his maw is, it could just as easily have woken up from a deep sleep or jumping up in shock like an alligator being trodden on by Roger Moore in his safari suit in Live and Let Die. Now, it's a great model. I never see it on sale. Possibly not my favourite ever model, but it's certainly something that I would like to own at some point when I get around to it. Anyway, thank you, Matthew. Thank you, everyone. I really do enjoy the Discord and the podcast. I know I don't contribute that much in terms of painting and gaming and all the rest of it, but I love listening and seeing what everyone else is up to. Thank you all. Speak again. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Jason here. So, there are some models that don't exist that need to exist. Middle-earth strategy battle game. From Games Workshop, there was the Last Alliance Elves, those lovely elves of Gondolin. I would like to see more of those made. I would like to see a catapult, a bolt thrower. I just want to see them now. Maybe even have a chariot. That'd be lovely. But of the ones that actually exist, there is an original Thranduil in metal, King of Mirkwood. Not the one from the Hobbit films, the one that came before anyone knew what it looked like. And it was just a lovely little metal model with a staff of power and a sword, quite understated, lovely miniature. And I would like the Electocount on Griffin, done by, I think, Trish Carden now, used to be Trish Morrison, and Alan Perry. That 2000s, 2002 Games Workshop Electocount on Griffin is just a slim, nice-looking model, and I would like to see that made. Other than that, there isn't really anything I'm looking for. So those are the only ones I've longed for. Otherwise, I just take what gets me fancy now because I have far too many models as it is. All right, cheers, guys.
Hello, Callum here, a.k.a. Dr. Spoke. Once again, Matthew, you have left me racking my brains with your question of the month. Not because it's difficult to think of a miniature that I would love to own, but that it seems impossible to pick one that stands out from them. One thing that has made this tricky is that because I mainly paint and create things rather than collect to play games. I've already amassed a motley collection of miniatures that I want, kind of wanted to get again. I've got Jess Goodwin's 1993 Avatar of Kane, Astrobale Vex, Dais of Destruction, the Marauder Giant, the original Commissar Yarrick model, and I just managed to get my hands on an original battle wagon for a price that won't have the added expense of a divorce lawyer. I've even, as everybody is well aware of, reimagined my unreplaceable Blood Axe War Boss that I made back in the 90s. And then I'm left with all the amazing old models that I still don't have, but really want. There's Gorfang Rotgut, Grom the Paunch, the rogue trader Lehman Russ, the original Goth Rock Band, the 80s Snotling Pump Wagon, which I know you're a fan of as well, Matthew. Pretty much all or any of the Kev Adams Night Goblins. The whole Mordheim starter box set would be good as well. The Praetorian Guard, but the price of those makes me wince, as does the price of another one, the original Land Raider. That would be good. The Rogue Trader Orc Timboys, the Imperial War Wagon, although there might be a hint that that is going to be coming up on a made-to-order at some point. So that would be good. The 90s Stone Trolls, which I just couldn't afford to on the recent made-to-order. I had to go with the Marauder Giant, along with the Marauder War Wyvern, another one there. A whole bunch of the 90s Warhammer Quest models, because those were just great. The second edition Imperial Guard Ogryns, Trish Carden's wonderful late 90s Bloodthirster. I think you get the idea. It's a big list. So I decided the answer should probably be something pretty much unobtainable. Maybe something like Mike McVeigh's Horus versus the Emperor diorama, or pretty much any of his dioramas. They're fantastic. Or one of Adrian Wood's Orc Dreadnought conversions that I drooled over in my teens. But maybe those are a little bit too unobtainable, especially as it turns out Adrian Wood threw his dreadnoughts away. So I decided to pick a model that was advertised by Games Workshop as, and I quote, "only available to the criminally insane." The parts came packed in a felt-lined, embossed, individually numbered and lacquered pine case, and a 12-page set of building instructions back when a Rhino set was very much, you can figure it out for yourself. It had no rules for use in the game, and if you wanted a base for it, Games Workshop recommended a length of copper pipe would make a very good flight stand. I am, of course, talking about the 1997 all-metal 28mm scale Thunderhawk gunship that 25 years ago cost a whopping £400. But these days, they can sell for as much as £25,000, plus the cost of a new wife. But that is never going to happen. And for now, I am quite happy just painting Jeff. As always, thank you again for your excellent podcast, Matthew. And if folks are interested, you can also find me on Mastodon at dr_spork@warhammer.social. Or if you're into 3D printing, look up Dr. Spork on Cult3D, where I have a bunch of old Hammer-inspired designs. And I look forward to seeing how your Space Dobbers rules progress. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Hello, Matthew and Bedroom Battlefields community. This is Scott in Austin, Texas. On the Discord, I'm just Scott, with a space between the S and a C. And back when I got into the hobby a few years ago, I was mostly interested in Tolkien miniatures. So Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth. And as you know, browsing through the internet, as one does, I came across this diorama where it showed Thorne's company in Bag End, making a mess of Bilbo's house, eating his food, and Gandalf's there as well. So anyway, this diorama just really stood out to me. I eventually found out this was produced by Mithril Miniatures, which is, some of you may know, it's an older miniatures company, and they're sculpted by Chris Tubb in Ireland. And I think they're pretty amazing. I like them better than Games Workshop miniatures, but they, it's kind of a strange company because they only released, one or two new miniatures a month, and they're selected by, you have to be in a club where you can actually vote on what Chris will sculpt next. But back, I don't know how long ago, maybe 20 or more years ago, they actually mass produced miniatures. But anyway, yeah, this unexpected party just really stood out to me. And it was something I really wanted to get and make a diorama out of, but it was almost impossible to find, as it is with most Mithril miniatures. So I joined a Facebook group and asked them if anyone had it, and no one wanted to part with theirs. So life went on, and I just kept my eye out for this unexpected party vignette, but couldn't find it. So I actually started a side business buying and selling miniatures as a way to fund my hobby. And I was at a convention. There's another vendor there, and we decided we'd like to make a trade. So I was looking through the things that he had, and he actually had a box of Mithril miniatures still in blister. And I, as I was picking out the ones that I was interested in, I came across the holy grail of most Mithril miniatures collectors, which is the M16 Female Ranger, which there were only a few copies made because the mold was broken. So this very, very rare. And I was so excited I found that. I was like shaking. But we made a trade, a very good trade. I think I came out the better end. But he got what he wanted. So I had this highly sought after, new in blister, M16 Female Ranger. So I had some leverage here. Now, I wasn't really interested in keeping it. So I'd much rather have this whole diorama than this one female miniature, female ranger. And so I made a trade on the Facebook Mithril fans group. I was able to trade this one ranger for the diorama, the unexpected party diorama, and a few other things that I was looking for as well. So I've got it now. I've found my holy grail. It's amazing. I still haven't painted it. I'd eventually like to build bag end and place this inside it someday. Yeah, so that is, I actually was able to find my holy grail. I hope that's an encouragement to some of you who haven't found yours yet. If you'd like to see my store, it's blackarrowminis.com. I've got a lot of out-of-print miniatures on there, a lot of Mithril miniatures, Games Workshop, all sorts of things. So anyway, thanks for listening to my rant.
If you're like me and like listening to a podcast when doing some hobby, like the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast, then can I suggest listening to the Krana Command Podcast and adding it to your library? At the Krana Command, you can listen to the voices and stories of community members and special guest interviews by Games Workshop luminaries such as Andy Chambers, Gary Morley, A.D. Wood, and many more. So if you have a chance, check out the Krana Command Podcast. Now let's get back to the show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dabrowski, and the miniature I would love to own is the old metal miniature of the Lizardman Stegodon. Not the modern plastic one that looks fat and lazy, but the old metal one that looks like a lean, mean dinosaur. I think it came out in 1997 for Warhammer Fantasy 5th Edition, but I first saw it in 6th Edition when I discovered the hobby. And of course, I went straight for the dinosaur army. As a poor teenager at the time, I couldn't afford any miniatures, but I hand-sculpted a couple different versions of the Stegodon out of an oven-baked clay, one of which I think I still have in reasonable condition. I never got around to getting the official figure, although I still sometimes consider looking it up on eBay or something. Thanks so much for the podcast. I look forward to listening to it every time it comes up in my podcatcher.
Hi, Matthew. This is Sebastian, aka Bass, from the Discord server. I'm calling in from Sweden to answer the question of the month: what miniature would you like to own above all others? And that's a tricky question, to be honest, but if I have to specify it down, I'm going to specify it to a set of miniatures, actually. And that's the Redbox Games Orc Brutes. And why these miniatures? I kind of like them because Trey, the owner and sculptor of Redbox Games, he took like the orc concept and he made it to his own thing. And it's something new to the community. And I kind of like the different things on the market, to be honest. So I've been looking for these miniatures last 5 years and I haven't been lucky enough to find any yet. But soon, hopefully. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you for a great podcast. I'm kind of new to the Discord server. I've been with you guys 2 months, I think. And I love it. It's a great community, great people sharing and having a laugh. Thanks.
And I had a good follow-up message from Sebastian telling me that he's actually managed now to get those Orc Brutes. So big congratulations to Sebastian.
Good morning, Matthew. I've decided to post something on the August question earlier this month to make up for being so late last month. But it's a very difficult question because I've been in collector mode for about 10 years now, and therefore I've had the opportunity to buy most everything that I have had my eye on in the past. There isn't a whole lot left that I would want particularly, and on top of that, I'm having to face the fact that it's taking me a long time to paint things, and there's a lot of stuff that I already have that I'm probably not going to get around to painting, and I should probably return so that somebody else can have the pleasure of collecting it. There are some things that I would want in unit quantities. I'm trying to build a little army of the earliest Grenadier elves, for example, and they don't come up on eBay very often, but it doesn't count as a single miniature. I'm building an entire army of minifigs, Mythical Earth, Tolkien fantasy figures, which were the first fantasy figures that were put together. But for that, I've got most everything I need. And again, painting time is the issue. So I honestly don't know. I suppose if I had to name something, there's a obscure miniatures company from about 1980 called Adena. That my brother and I have got some figures from. That was one of the things that made its way into our collection back in the day. And I would kind of like an Adena rock, which I'd like to use as a Tolkien giant eagle in certain vintage games. And I would only need one of them. So that's probably as close to an answer as you're going to get, but it does seem somewhat unsatisfactory. I guess in the miscellaneous category, there's a group of Citadel Fantasy Special civilians and people sitting around a tavern that I don't have all of yet. And I'd like some of those too, but it's sort of a low priority item, although every fantasy game could use a few more civilians. Anyway, a thought-provoking question. Looking forward to seeing what some other people are looking for. Thanks.
Hello, this is Andreas from Germany. What is my favorite miniature that I'd like to own above all others? Good question. I would have said Skarsnik, but I own that model already. So really I had to think a bit. So it kind of took me back to like the days when I discovered Warhammer, and a friend of mine had a nice Praetonian army. And the model that really stood out was that really cool green knight model. I thought, wow, this looks amazing. This looks great. And the model kind of still looks great today. So I'd say it's the Green Knight. And while I was thinking about that, I checked the GDubs homepage, and of course it is for sale there. So I can understand I ordered it, and I'm going to get it in 2 weeks. Hooray!
Hello, it's Ed from the Discord and Sussex here. The question of the month this month is a real tough one. So thank you, Matthew. It's a real challenge to answer this one. What models do I wish I owned more than anything else? It could be the Jump Pack Assault Marines that I have a sergeant for, but no squad for him to follow. It could be the Chaos Terminators from 2nd Edition, which were just absolute peak chaos, beautiful models, amazing to paint. Wish I could find those. It could be a Skaven Blood Bowl team, the team that I wish that I owned and never did. They were very, very cool. And one of the few fantasy games that I did play, Warhammer Fantasy games I did play, was Blood Bowl. And I loved those little ratty boys. Could it be the Van Sars shooting from range, those tech geniuses in Necromunda, my last great love of GW? My gangs that I ran were Orlocks and Escher. But I always fancied those Van Sars. No, it's none of those. As wonderful as it would be to own any of those models, I feel that they're all gangs and squads, so don't quite qualify for the what single model. Now, if I really think about it, the single model I wish I owned more than anything is a squat trike. Those models were just brilliant. It's what made me fall in love with the squat faction as a kid. I thought those trikes were so cool. Those biker dwarves in space just had a really good aesthetic. It was Bob Olley who did a lot of the designs for them. Absolutely love those. And whilst I do have a small collection of the original original squats from 40K, I don't have any vehicle. Since I rejoined the hobby, I have collected a Chaos Squad army, which is great fun. And at some point, I will buy some proxy bike. But that original Chaos Trike, I mean, just, yeah, so much fun, so much character to the models, so much power in that multi-melter gun mounted on top. At least in my mind as a kid, there was. Even if reality, it was not the most powerful of the heavy weapons out there. But that's probably the one that I'd wish for, but they just go for so much money now. They're so rare. There's so few of them out there. I'll never own it, unless I come across an absolute steal or someone gifting it away. I think the chances of that happening are pretty slim. Their squats are a pretty high demand collectible, figures these days. So the model I think I will always wish that I owned and never will be that trike. So yeah, fantastic question this month, Matthew. Really, really tough one to answer. So thank you for that.
Hey, Matthew and listeners, thanks again, mate, for another great question. So the question was, for this month, what miniature would you love to own above all others? So it was quite difficult for me to think about exactly what miniature that would be, because I pretty much have everything I really wanted so far. I've been very lucky in the last 5 or 6 years in the number of trades and sales during the good times, when before all the spikes of prices or miniatures and that kind of thing. And so when I started looking at my collections, my dwarves, for example, and my Orc and Goblins, I think the Orc and Goblins are pretty much fulfilled in terms of miniatures. Is like an odd few here and there that I need to collect for them. But apart from that, I've got pretty much everything I ever want. So for my dwarves, I think the only one I can think of would be that Burlock Damonson. It's one of the characters which I've never had, never owned, and it's the last character to complete all of the characters, including all for Grudge of Drong. So I've got everything except him. So I'm going to say that's my pick for the question of the month. So thanks again, mate, for the awesome podcast. And I look forward to listening to the answers for this this month's question. Thanks again, mate.
Hey, Matthew. Thanks for running this. This is Tom from the U.S. Moonrocks on the Discord, Dashing Swordsman Hobbies on YouTube and Instagram. And the miniature that I would most love to own above all others for this month's question is the Citadel LE7 Wizard with Submachine Gun. It's a model from the late 80s, early 90s, well before I was into miniatures or wargaming. And ever since I've seen it, it has captivated me. Something about the juxtaposition, I think, between the technology and the wizard, the expression on his face, and it seems like I want to find games and uses for it. And a lot of it is sort of the silliness of early Citadel and Games Workshop. Unfortunately, it's always been in the hundreds or thousands of dollars every time I've seen it pop up on eBay. But I very much wanted to thank you, because by asking this question and me trying to remember what the title of the model was, when I looked it up, it looks like a 3D creator has now made a model that really kind of carries forward the spirit of it. It's not a one-to-one copy, but it really evokes that same feeling. The model is by Knucklebones Miniatures. You can find it on my Mini Factory. And so now for $4, I can print and paint my own and have my wizard with submachine gun on the table in front of me. And now I guess I just need to find a rules set or a role-playing game that will allow me to use him. So thanks again so much. Love listening to the podcast and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Hi, Dave Crow here. I've been enjoying the podcast and recently joined the Discord. A couple of days ago, I dug out all the old goblins to teach the lad how to play Warhammer Fantasy Battle. Looking through the old goblin army book, Orcs and Goblins, just seeing some of those classic old goblins, squig hoppers and some of the squig herders that I never did get in the collection, particularly the fellow with the big symbols that looks like he smashed his nose. He's a classic, and one of the squig hoppers who's like riding backwards with his rear to the enemy. Just a couple of real classics that are just looking eye-watering prices on eBay. So it's kind of hard to justify, but yeah, these are the kind of classic goblins that would just love to get in that collection. But I've got plenty of good ones, so shouldn't complain really. Anyway, cheers. Keep up the good work with the podcast. It's been great. Cheers. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Matthew. It's George here. Excellent question. There is an enormously long list of models I would love to own. But when I thought about it, there's one that really stands out. When I first got into Warhammer, probably late 80s, very early 90s, I was at primary school and there was a kid whose older brother had what we thought was an enormous collection of lead Warhammer miniatures at the time. We were lucky if we had one of the plastic box sets, which were amazing, but none of us had anything lead. And big brother Patrick would very occasionally let us go into his room and look at his stuff. And one day he showed us the model, which to this day I would absolutely love to have. It was the Chaos Lavatory. Sculpted by Ali Morrison. It's an absolute classic. There's some poor soul who looks like he foolishly sat on the Chaos Lavatory and is disappearing into it. Someone else has been seized by an arm that has grown, and it's pure chaos. It's absolutely glorious. Trading for about £95 on eBay these days, but it's wonderful. Big slab of lead, looks like it was carved out of clay. It's brilliant. So Chaos Lavatory for me, please. And then everything else I want to. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is George Giorgio from Melbourne, Australia. I'm known as G2 Online. I'm here to answer the question of the month for August. What miniature would you love to own above all others? For me, there are two contenders. The first miniature I would love to own above all others is the Dwarf Juggernaut, which was sculpted by Tony Ackland, and this miniature was released back in 1984. Just to be clear, this is not the Chaos Juggernaut, but the Dwarf Juggernaut. The second miniature would have to be the Great Spine Dragon, which was sculpted by the very talented Nick Bibby, and this miniature was also released back in 1984. One day, I hope to own both but I'd be happy with just one at this stage. Thank you. Bye.
The Bedroom Battlefields Patreon now comes with bonus content, the first of which is a full battle report from White Dwarf issue 166. I read through this iconic showdown from 1993 between Blood Angels General Andy Chambers and Orc Warboss Jervis Johnson, as they showcase the new Warhammer 40,000 second edition. Find out more at patreon.com/bedroombattlefields, that's patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. And now, back to the show.
Hi Matthew, it's Mark, just calling in. Which miniature would I most love to own above all others? Well, there's several from the 4th edition Warhammer Time that are on that wish list, and I'm really hoping that GW release them with their made-to-order program. Here's hoping. One of the ones on there would be the Dwarf Throne of Power. Absolutely amazing model. And similarly, the Dwarf Anvil of Doom. But given they've released the Dwarves, maybe we're not going to see those. However, it looks like the Empire War Wagon is coming back. That'd be amazing. Absolutely love one of those. And then finally, in terms of High Elves, I'd really like a Tyrion model. Absolutely fantastic one. But at the top of the pile, I'd have to say that the original Jez Goodwin Teclis is the model I would most love to have. Okay, thanks.
Hello, Viking Dave from the Discord. Long time listener, first time caller. About this month's question. I've got a cheeky two answers. My main one, single model, will probably be the old metal Thunderhawk gunship that was for sale for 40,000 pennies and probably, I think, weighed an absolute ton. And secondly, a thing I probably should have got but missed out on at the time was the original Warhammer Quest set, because I spent many an hour playing that.
It sounded like Dave had more to say there. I don't know if that was intentional or whether the clip cut off or whatever, but on the subject of Viking Dave, I just want to say a massive thanks to him too, because if you'd heard the previous episode where I talked about this question of the ultimate miniature you would love to own, my own one was actually the Great Unclean one, the sort of 80s one that was on the combat cards, the big ball of lead. And Dave reached out to me on the Discord and he said that he had one going and he was prepared to part with it for a very, very reasonable price, and he posted it right away. So I now have that Great Unclean one in my own collection, and he'll be a proud addition to my growing Nurgle warband. So thank you so much, Dave. I really do appreciate that. And thanks also for getting in touch with your clip this month. So that is all the clips in for this month. I'm going to tell you shortly about next month's question, but I figured I'd do some of the hobby progress stuff now. I didn't want to do that at the front of the episode. I just wanted to get right into it. So talking about latest paint jobs, I finished up the big troll that I got from Foundry when I was down at Bring Out Your Lead. Really loved painting that one up, and I'm really happy with it. Hector the Naked Pict is also finished and based and everything. They've all got varnish on them now. And Jeff the Wandering Wizard has been completed too. And by the way, if you're interested in all the Jeff the Wandering Wizard stuff, this is basically the concept that we all have the same miniature, the same character, and each person is playing their own solo or collaborative campaigns. And there's a sort of tie-in narrative with, you know, what Jeff does in one game versus what he does in the next game and that. And there'll be a discussion on this in the Discord. That's the Royal Orc event that Mark and David very kindly organise. So this is happening on Monday the 16th of September, if you're listening around the time of release. Monday the 16th of September 2024, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. UK time, so I'll let you do the conversion for your own particular corner of the universe. But yeah, amongst other things, you know, these are always really fun sessions. Mark and David do some really cool stuff during them, and there'll be a discussion on how the whole Jeff the Wandering Wizard campaign is going to work. So if you're interested in that, fire over to the Discord. You'll find it at bedroombattlefields.com/discord. So the last thing I finished up was that big block of 15mm Goblin Spearmen. So, you know, I'm really making progress now, as I said on the last episode. Both 15mm armies that I've got, the Greenskins and the human and dwarf allies are really coming on now, and I've got updated pictures of them over at bedroombattlefields.com. I'm going to create a blog post just with all the recent stuff. You'll find that at bedroombattlefields.com/recent, and that means I could always keep that link updated, you know, in future episodes when I'm referring to future things I've been working on, future paint jobs, and all that sort of good stuff. So up next for me, I've still got my Brian Ansell Chaos Sorcerer to finish. I've got some sci-fi zombies, and I've got a couple of 15mm houses, as well as those dwarf spearmen. I've really enjoyed starting painting them. I think they were from Pendraken, so big block of monopose dwarf spearmen. But yeah, I'm really happy with the first five that I've done. I'm happy with the paint scheme there, and excited to see how they'll all look once they're finished. So I'm hoping to get that done this week. And I did also manage to have a painting tutorial with Josh of the Crown of Command and Heavy Lead Studios. That was a really, really good experience. So Josh, for those of you somehow not aware, you know, he's a prominent podcaster in our corner of the hobby and an ex-heavy metal painter as well. And part of his Patreon offerings is to do painting tutorials, one-on-one painting tutorials. So I spent a good 40 minutes with Josh. He was painting up a Chaos Space Marine. And my intention there is just really to pick up tips on using more conventional paints. You know, I'm very reliant these days on contrast paints, which is, you know, a great thing in the main. It enables me to produce stuff that I'm happy with and at a decent rate as well, given the limitations of my time to paint. But I am really interested to use the more traditional paints to get some use out of them, to develop some techniques and see what I could do with them as well. And the number one person to go to achieve that is, of course, Josh. So thanks, Josh, for the tutorial. I really enjoyed it. He records them for you as well, so you could go back to them afterwards and rewatch and take notes. So I'm looking forward to catching up with him in September again. We're going to do at least 6 months worth of them, and I'm going to hopefully be able to start putting some of this stuff into practice. On the playing front, I got a couple of games in. I mean, you've maybe heard my report with Robert. We were playtesting this rule set that I've been bashing around. Whilst playtesting these games recently as well, I sort of took the opportunity just to put like almost all of the terrain that I own on the tabletop at one time. So I had this really cool juxtaposition of like castles and old cottages and hovels and stuff like that, hay wagons, but also had like futuristic sci-fi stations and stuff like that. So there was a real stark contrast, and it looked pretty cool, I thought. So I took some photos of those games with all the terrain and that. So again, if you go to the blog post, bedroombattlefields.com/recent, you'll see some photos and a link to the full photo album on the Flickr account too. So things are cracking on with that. Like I've got back to the drawing board, rewrote a couple of things, replaced a couple of things, cut a couple of things, and I've had the opportunity to play again, and I'm really, really happy with kind of how it's looking now. You know, I really am satisfied with what's there, and I think it's the perfect rule set for me to play scenarios going forward. I did get asked a really pertinent question in the Discord from William of William's War Games about, you know, why bother doing this when there's so many great games out there. You know, that is a really valid question, and it's definitely not because I think I could do a better job than the likes of Joe McCulloch and, you know, all those other folks that have created these amazing games for us. It's purely there's a couple of things going on. The first is that I actually just really enjoy this process. It's a really sort of fun and interesting part of the hobby that you could do away from the tabletop or away from the painting desk. And, you know, just throwing rules around and meshing them together, seeing what works. I'm just finding the whole process really satisfying, really interesting. And, you know, there's a cool end product there, at least for, you know, my own purposes at the end of it all. So, it's just an area, the hobby I seem to have really grasped onto recently, and I'm finding it particularly enjoyable. So the rules that I've created and have been playtesting, I've now got a fantasy version and a sci-fi version. So the fantasy version is called The Mace of Spades, And the sci-fi version, it was called Space Lobbers back when I was playing it with Dr. Spork down in Newark. I've now renamed it Star Squabble. I thought Star Squabble was quite good. It just sounds so petty. In the grim darkness of the far future, there are only minor disagreements. Like Barry Gibb walking off of Clive Anderson in 1997. By the way, what a segue that is, because I talked about the question of the month for September 2024. That question is, which person, dead or alive, would you love to play a miniatures game with, and why? And also, what game would you play? So is it Necromunda with Napoleon, Frostgrave with Florence Nightingale, or Battlemasters with Barry Gibb? Just don't call him a tosser, whatever you do. Anyway, that's just about it for this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. I'm glad my voice held up, at least I'm fairly certain it did. The wee one started nursery recently and she's just bringing home all sorts of germs that she doesn't seem particularly bothered by, but my throat certainly feels it. So I've been drinking a lot of water there just to get me through this without coughing my lungs up. The question of the month, by the way, I need them in by Friday the 27th of September 2024. One more time, which person, dead or alive, would you love to play a miniature game with, and why? And also, what game would you play? Head on over to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail to send that clip in, or you could email it over. It's hello@bedroombattlefields.com. Right, there you go. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast, and we'll talk again on the next one.